Chapter 17
Griff, what do we do?
Layla asked with enormous doll-like eyes. The alarm outside sent continuous chills down my spine, and with every beat, I could feel my pulse race faster. We'd been in precarious positions before, but this one was completely unmatched. I don't know, I said, and it was the absolute truth. There were two choices, and both were pressing in different ways. If we stayed and protected the Enclave, there was a chance we could get injured from the fight. And even though Xanrath had healing abilities, I needed everyone to be in tip-top shape. On the other hand, however, this kind of monster attack could do a lot of damage to the Enclave. And if the Enclave fell, so would our home and the friends and family we still had there. I could feel the eyes of all of the Guardians on me, but I couldn't bring myself to meet their gaze. Not when I was torn on what to do. Part of me wished someone else would make the decision, but I'd never been the passive kind of leader. No, I needed to make this call myself, and I needed to do it quickly.
Griff, you have to get up to Azernath's tentacles, Sarah said with a serious glint in her yellow eyes. The moment is now. You heard its words for yourself. It has every intention of swallowing the planet within the next 2 days. If you and the Guardians don't strike now, the realm will be lost.
You're right, I agreed with her. The whole reason we gathered the clans and the Southerners in the first place was to fortify Mistral's army in the event of an attack. An attack is here, so we have to trust our army can handle the job while we handle ours.
This is so scary,
Layla whispered, and her cheeks flushed a deep rose color when she realized everyone was staring at her.
Sorry, I know we're supposed to be brave and optimistic and—
Don't apologize, I insisted, and I took the petite summoner's hand in mine. This is scary. Trust me, I feel it too. None of us have ever faced a challenge like this before, and it's probably going to be the most difficult battle of our entire lives. There's a good chance we could get hurt. And an even bigger chance we won't return.
No offense, Griff, but this is the worst pep talk I've ever heard.
Varlith cut me off dryly. I know, but it has a point, I said, and the gypsy sat back down. This isn't going to be easy, not even a little bit, but we were appointed guardians of the realm for a reason. The Grand Mage and Headmaster Sleep knew we were up to the task, and I know we are too. We agreed to protect the realm at all costs, and this mission to the moon is included in that promise. I want to keep Varley safe, but there's no point in saving the Enclave if the rest of the world falls apart just after. I know we're loyal to our city. This place is our home, after all. And we've spent years studying and developing our magic and our adult lives here. Some of us, anyway, Orin whispered out of the side of his mouth.
Hush it, Vasgarty. Griff is attempting to be motivational.
Gawain rolled his emerald eyes.
Anyways, I sighed. I understand how much we all want to stay and protect this place, and how torn everyone feels about this decision. If there was any way I could be in two places at once, I would do it. But unfortunately, there isn't. We need to do what's best for not just the Enclave, but for the good of the entire realm.
Griff's right,
Nia agreed with me. And when the multi-elementalist rolled her shoulders back, her ashen ponytail swung rhythmically.
We need to gear up and make our way up there. Time is of the essence, and we have hundreds upon hundreds of people relying on us to defeat the demon.
Let's do this,
Orin chimed in, and the metal og broke into a grin.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm certainly ready to kick some demon ass.
I like your attitude, Vasgarty,
Almasi chuckled. And then he retrieved his hands from his pockets.
I'm ready to knock out that demon too. Azraneath has ruined our planet, and I'm sick and tired of manipulating ruined Earth.
Layla nodded her head slowly in agreement, but I could still see a glimmer of doubt in her eyes. So I squeezed her hand gently. The children are going to be just fine, I assured her in a quiet voice. Aaron, Maddie, and Nerissa are going to take good care of them.
What if the monsters break into the Enclave?
She whispered.
What if they get as far as the Academy's grounds? We're just down the hill from there. What if Daphne...
Don't finish that sentence, I stopped her.
and I fixed her with my most serious stare. That isn't going to happen. No harm is going to come to our children, I promise. This isn't a goodbye. And besides, we're not leaving them unarmed. Aaron knows what to do and where to go in the event of an emergency. And when it comes down to it, this mansion is the safest place they could be. The basement is going to be the best shelter they could ask for. We've made certain of that, remember?
Oh,
Layla replied, and her mouth softened from a thin line to part just slightly.
You're right. We did stock all of that food, water, and blankets down near the hot springs after the Gandor attack, didn't we?
Exactly, I nodded. We took the extra time to throw all that together exactly for this reason. There's no reason to be scared, Layla. We've got this. Aaron's got this. And she has backup. All of our babies will be safe. Who knows? The monsters might not even be able to breach those new walls Almasi and the others set up around the Enclave.
Even if they did, I wouldn't count out the southern armies,
Almasi reminded Layla, and the petite summoner tilted her head slightly.
You've seen Queen Lisi on her own without a sword. She's scary enough without a weapon. Just imagine how ruthless she'd be on the field.
It's true,
the petite mage admitted, and she tucked her auburn hair behind her ears.
Not only that, but Griff's aunt is out there, and I've seen what she can do with her monsters. She'd never allow any monsters to get that far into Valais.
Exactly, I nodded, and then I rose from my seat and extended my hand back out to Layla. So, what do you say, Layla? Should we go save the world? My lover considered the idea for all of about a moment, and then she nodded her head in agreement.
Yes, let's save the world, Griffy. I'm tired of living in fear. It's time to go kick some nasty demon ass.
The rest of us erupted into exclamations of victory, and after a brief battle cheer, we snapped into action. The sound of the blaring alarm outside the windows rose into the air like an obnoxious symphony, and serenaded us as we dressed in our battle gear. The suits Ashla had invented for us were made of a material that was both thin and thick at the exact same time, but their skin-tight quality made it nearly impossible to pull it on over our clothing, so we had to get a little intimate with one another. My male friends turned around for privacy, and then we stripped down to our underclothes. Each of my women had opted for similar camel sole tops and underwear, and I just so happened to be wearing a pair of shorts under my trousers that kept the metallic black suit from clinging to all of the wrong places.
How is this thing so hard to get on?
Syra complained as she pulled the suit up her trim torso. Her arms splayed out as she shimmied upward, but Nia came to her rescue and helped zip her into the garment.
Hey, that skin-tight material is only going to help you out up there,
Ashla teased her.
For everything I installed into it, it's surprisingly lightweight. The helmets, on the other hand. Maker, are they going to be heavy?
Gawain sighed.
Only for those who already have a huge head.
Varlith teased him, and the Fire Mage let out a long groan of irritation, while the rest of us cracked up.
Seriously, though, the helmets aren't too bad,
Ashla said once we settled down.
The weight is dispersed by the latches on the suit, so there shouldn't be a problem. It won't be too top-heavy, but it'll be enough to give us protection past the atmosphere.
Perfect, I said as I finished zipping up my suit. Then I peered down at the clothes I'd discarded on the floor, and my bandolier accompanied it. I retrieved the belt from the floor, fastened it around my torso, and triple-checked that my crystals were secure. I didn't know what monsters I would need up there, so I had to be prepared for anything and everything. Syra, Layla, and Brayden followed suit, and each latched on their various forms of crystal storage, while the rest of the Guardians bedecked themselves with their weapons and holsters. With all of our matching suits, we looked like a badass squadron on a mission, and as I peered around at my friends gearing up for battle, I felt a strange feeling surge through my body. It was somewhere between excitement and pride, and I couldn't help but think about how far everyone had come in the last few years. When I'd met Layla, she'd been a foulmouth who didn't care about school, or anything else for that matter, aside from maybe pranks. But now, she was both a mother and a formidable summoner. Syra had gone from Maelor's Spitfire assistant out in the wilds to a determined student. Ashla went from former mercenary to a badass weapons engineer. And Aaron's loving nature and awesome flight skills had only increased over the years. Even Freya had come a long way since I first arrived in clan territories. She was still the same warrior princess with a fighting spirit who spoke her mind no matter what, but she'd learned how to open up to others, and be a good friend and a wonderful addition to our family. Then there were my male friends. The most surprising of all the transformations was Gawain's, and it was hard to imagine how much of a stuck-up aristocrat with a condescending nature he was when we first met, especially now that he was one of my closest friends. Then there was Brayden, the shy, ox-like summoner who seemed uncomfortable in his own skin. Now he was a married man and a part-time professor at the most prestigious academy in Mistral. Varlith, my favorite surly gypsy, had been the poster child for sullen negativity, but he'd found strength through everything he'd been through in the southern continent. And then there was Nia, my beloved Nia. If someone had told me on that first day when I'd first sat down at her table in the dining hall that she would one day be my wife and the mother of my twin children, I'd have called their bluff. But the elemental prodigy had learned how to open up to others and stand up for herself in the eyes of her family, and anyone else who doubted her. And I was beyond proud to call her my partner. Arwen, Orin, and Almasi had all grown in their own ways, but their differences weren't as severe as the others. If anything, the mages had only become better versions of themselves, which was still a wonderful and impressive feat, considering how great they already were. My friends and family meant the world to me, and even if we somehow ended up perishing in this battle, at least I would go down surrounded by the ones I loved. The guardians and I filed out of the room and flooded into the hallway, and with every step I took, I could feel my adrenaline levels rise.
"Griff,"
Aaron prompted me in a small voice, and when I turned around, the orange-haired mimic's amber eyes were wide and wet with tears. She hurried over to me, and before I could say a word, she threw her arms around me and squeezed. "Ah, Aaron," I sighed, and I pulled her in closer. The petite mage's citrus and vanilla perfume filled my nose as I held her, and I rested my mouth against the top of her head.
"I'm sorry," she apologized in a quiet voice. "I told myself I wasn't going to do this. I vowed I was going to be cool and breezy about everything, and yet here I am blubbering like a baby."
"Don't apologize, Aaron. I understand," I assured my lover, and pulled away just enough to be able to look her in the eyes. "I wish we didn't have to go."
"But you have to,"
she finished.
"And I completely get it. I knew this was going to happen the moment you were appointed a guardian, and I knew what it would mean when I needed to step back from the team. I only wish I could be with you."
"You're always with us," I said, and when the pilot tilted her head to the side in confusion, I tapped my chest, right here, in my heart. "Your love is always here to guide me, and mine is always with you."
"Damn it, Griff. You're always going to make me cry even harder,"
the mimic sniffled.
"I love you so much. You know that, right?"
"Of course I do," I replied, and I swept her coppery hair behind her ear. "I love you too, Aaron, and we'll be back here before you know it, and when we're reunited, maybe it'll be in a prettier world once again."
"I hope so,"
Aaron whispered.
"If anyone is going to restore the realm, it's going to be you guys."
"Please, take good care of the children," I requested, and I tilted her chin up. "I know you will. I just needed to ask anyway."
"I promise they'll be perfectly fine,"
Aaron assured me.
"We'll be right here, eagerly awaiting your return."
Aaron and I shared one last tender kiss, and then Nerissa Kennefic stepped in and wrapped her arms around my lover's shoulder, while Maddie came up on the other side of her.
"Best of luck to you all,"
Nia's mother addressed the group, and her blue eyes glittered with just a touch of sadness as they flickered over to her daughter.
"Especially you, my Nia. Your father and I are so incredibly proud of the powerful woman you've become." "Mother, you're going to make me cry,"
Nia sniffled, and she broke off from the crowd of guardians to approach her mother. Nerissa carefully shifted away from Aaron, and then the Kennefic women embraced each other tightly.
"This isn't a goodbye hug,"
Nia reminded her mother.
"This is a see you later. We'll be back before any of you have time to miss us."
My ashen-haired wife looked over her shoulder and winked at me. I was glad at least one of my lines had been motivational, and the sentiment seemed to cheer all of my friends and family up. Suddenly, the alarm chirped even louder, and Maddie scrambled over to Brayden's side. The rest of us looked away to give them a second of privacy, but they didn't need long at all. Something told me they'd had their moment alone last night, and this was just a quick refresher. A moment later, Brayden and Nia rejoined our cluster, while Nerissa and Maddie returned to Aaron's side.
"You all need to get going,"
the mimic urged us in a desperate tone.
"Now is as good time as any. Take out that demon and give it my regards."
"That's my girl," I grinned at her, and then I turned to the guardians. "Is everyone ready?"
"As we'll ever be,"
Varlith confirmed, and the rest of my friends let out sounds of agreement. While we stepped out of the mansion and onto the lawn, the sense of dread I'd felt earlier increased tenfold, and I fought the urge to retch all over the ground as I caught sight of the sky. The guardians and I donned our helmets, and once everyone was ready, I released Sarah from her bindings. "Sarah, we're ready for that portal," I commanded the goddess as the blaring alarm made my ears pound.
"Yes, master,"
the Arcan declared, and after she manifested in front of us, the raven-haired goddess let out a battle cry and waved her hand in the air until a shimmer formed in front of us. This was it. There was no turning back. We were going up to the demon's tentacles, and then the surface of the moon to take out an evil that predated all of us tenfold. My friends and I peered around at one another, and even though we were all silent, there was an unspoken air of camaraderie. "Ready?" I prompted the guardians, and when everyone gave me nods and sounds of approval, I took a deep breath and stepped through the portal. No more hesitation, no more fear. It was time to defeat a demon.